Star Tours announces the arrival of the Indoor Express. Once we've had a chance to service the Star Speeder, we'll begin our boarding procedures. Thank you.
The most magical place, the most magical place.
Nobody ever had a thought that came to them from out of the blue. It came to them because of the work that goes on in their cranium command.
Come on now.
We watch the redhead.
You scum.
Hey, guys, it looks like we're all here. Let's go.
WDW Radio. Your information.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Radio Show, your Walt Disney World information station. I am your host, Lou Mangiello, and this is show number 285 for the week of July 29th, 2012. At Walt Disney World, dining is equally as important and just as much fun as the attractions and shows. It's also something that affords you and your family wonderful opportunities to sample, share, learn from, and enjoy flavors from literally around the world. And not every dining opportunity has to be enjoyed during breakfast, lunch, or dinner. So this week, we're going to look at some of the best of the best as we explore the best snacks in Epcot. AJ from the Disney Food Blog joins me as we talk about the options, strategies, pairings, values, flavors, and much more in a segment that will not only introduce you to some snack options you may not have considered before, but will almost surely leave you hungry as well. I'll then have the answer and winner of last week's Walt Disney World Trivia Question of the Week and pose a new question, food-related, of course, for your chance to win a Disney prize package. Be sure and stay tuned for the announcements, including information about upcoming WDW Radio events, live broadcasts from events and Disneyland in the next week, and your voicemails at the end of the show. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's episode of the WDW Radio Show. Disney World has so much to offer in terms of entertainment and family fun, and of course, look at me, great dining. And when you think of Epcot, I think oftentimes your mind starts to wander over to World Showcase, where you can literally travel the world simply by meandering around the promenade. And along the way, you can sample some of those flavors from around the world, which I believe is more than just a way to enjoy your lunch or enjoy dinner in a unique environment. Because I think one of the best ways to learn about a people and their culture is through their food. It speaks to tradition and the land. And no matter where you go or what you believe in, I think breaking bread with those that you love is what makes for wonderful memories and good times. And I think that food brings people together. And Epcot has so many great opportunities to expand your palate, experience new flavors, and maybe, just maybe, find even a new favorite food along the way. And on the show and in my videos, I have explored in great detail many of the pavilions, and oftentimes I'll do live restaurant reviews from around Walt Disney World to give you an idea of what the experience and the cuisine is like throughout the parks and resorts and other dining locations as well. But this week, I want to bring you another look at food in Walt Disney World, because I want to explore some more of the best of the best. And I'm sitting here outside Katsura Grill, one of my favorite places and dining locations in all of Walt Disney World, for the best of the best snacks in all of Epcot. And I said that food is best enjoyed when it is shared with friends. And this week I am joined by my friend, fellow foodie and Disney fan, a person who, like me, believes that attractions are just things that you do in between dining opportunities at Walt Disney World. She is AJ Wolf from DisneyFoodBlog.com, the author of many guides to dining in Walt Disney World. AJ, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Lou. Now, wait, so people actually do ride attractions in Disney World? I didn't know that happened. I just eat myself. I don't know.
I think the tagline to your site is perfectly well said. Food is an attraction.
Food is a theme park. Absolutely. Food is a theme park. Yes, it is its own theme park. Yeah. You don't need to ride Spaceship Earth. Come on. Yeah.
I you know, we're saying this half jokingly, but I think that you're right in terms of, we were talking before about how people, especially if they haven't been here in a long time, they think of theme park food and their mind goes to chicken nuggets, hamburgers, and French fries. And I'm sure, like you're doing now, we recoil in horror when we hear that, because there are so many great opportunities. And here in World Showcase is one of those places where I think you can not only get great food, but it affords you the opportunity to expand your culinary horizons, as it was. You can try new things. I think snacks, particularly, is a great way to do that.
Absolutely, because you're not outlaying too much money. You get the opportunity to try a couple of things that you might not have explored otherwise without, you know, wasting too much of your cash if you don't love it. But yeah, absolutely. Epcot is one of the best places in Disney World to do that.
And I think looking at...
Oh, and I also really, really love the chicken nuggets. Just as an FYI, like I get that there's other stuff here and I love talking about it, but I think Disney has some of the best chicken nuggets.
The more we talk, the more we bond, because as much as I love, you know, the Okayama Tama, and I just butchered that name here at Japan, which, by the way, I had while I was waiting for you because I was starving. I do like a good chicken nugget, and there's sometimes I'll order that, and people go, you're the Disney food. You talk about the food. I'm like, yeah, but nothing beats a good nugget and French fries.
I got to say, you know, and they have some good burgers around here, too. So, you know, there's something for everyone, even if you're a picky eater like me.
I was going to ask you the loaded question of best burger on property, but that's probably a whole separate segment.
Yeah, we'll talk about that another time.
The pros and cons of the lobster burger at Grant.
Ah, yes, yes, that's a good.
The Duval Street burger at Olivia's.
Uh-huh, yep.
We're just nodding like, oh, we need to go eat when we're done with this. But I think you're right. Snacks are great because, you're right, they're inexpensive, they're small portions. It does give you a chance to sort of sample something that you might not want to try a full meal. And it's also shareable. One of the things I love doing is coming to Walt Disney World with friends. We get a bunch of different snacks somewhere and we share them and we try them together.
Absolutely. Sometimes.
When I say share, I mean they can watch me eat mine and get their own as well too. But most importantly, here especially, the snacks are very delicious and they're also unique to the pavilions that you're going to.
That's the thing that I love about Epcot. You see a lot of Disney merchandise going a little homogenized, where you're starting to see the same snacks everywhere, the same things everywhere a lot of the time. And that may just be perception versus reality. But I think here in Epcot, you do have things that are specific to those countries. You're not going to find them anywhere else in Walt Disney World, which is what makes this place, you know, where you can literally spend an entire week just eating in the World Showcase. So.
And to that end, when we were thinking about this idea of the best of the best snacks in all of Epcot, I excluded some things automatically off my list, like the things that you can get everywhere. Or, look, if I included popcorn, it would just win every time, because there's something about popcorn in Walt Disney World. I excluded table service restaurants, because we're talking about things not necessarily an appetizer you can get there, but things that are snacks. And I also wanted to make sure, at least in my mind, when I was talking about snacks, I wasn't always thinking sweet, because some of these snacks are savory as well.
Absolutely. And I think something else to say is that not everything we'll talk about today is gettable with a snack credit on the Disney Dining Plan. There are some fantastic snacks that maybe are $5, $6, a little bit more than what a regular snack credit would cover. So you don't want to leave those out of your potential arsenal.
And there is... You know, there are, I think, so many options that people may not consider. There's so many places, not just here in World Showcase. I think Future World has some places to get snacks that people might not think about as well. Here comes the unintentional but shameless plug. This is where, that's why I downloaded your Disney food blog guide to Epcot snacks. I'm like, shh, come on, man, look at me. I know my snacks. But it's so cool because it made me think about places or snacks that I wouldn't think of. It. We'll talk about some of the other, you almost have snack strategies. You're talking about things like overlooked places. You're talking about snack pairings, which I thought was brilliant.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of things to think about when you're planning your Disney World food. You spend a lot of money in Disney World on food. Why not? I mean, my goal is to make sure you do not spend money on something that doesn't taste good or something that your family doesn't like or something like water. Please don't spend too much money on water when there's so many other wonderful things that you can get. So basically, we wanted to cover the gamut in that particular book. Not every snack is in there in Epcot. There'd be hundreds and hundreds, but we did cover about over 100 of our favorite. I think we have 130 snacks in there of our very favorites. And yeah, we poke into little holes and corners and find the places that you might not realize there are some very interesting things to eat.
The only thing I would say that your book needs is you need a warning at the beginning. And you're looking at me like, where is he going with this? Because you cannot read this book while you're hungry. Your day will be shot.
I will tell you, Lou, I am perpetually on a diet when I'm not in Disney World, and it never gets easier to write the things that I write, to write the food blog, to write the ebook series that we have. It never gets easier because I look at those pictures just like you, and I just want that thing so badly, and I just remember having it when I was trying it, and you know, it never gets easier. I have a stack of protein bars next to my computer all the time because I just, yeah, can't get hungry.
I don't even know what those are, but just remember, because when you're here, you're walking it off anyway. It's 113 degrees with 97% humidity, so we're going to walk off anything we eat as well, too. But, yeah, because I think you're right. We do spend, and you probably, if you think about it, if you have a large family, too, you're spending more on food than you are necessarily on anything else, you know, even your hotel necessarily. So things like snack values is a great way to sort of approach it, too, because, you know, every dollar, every penny counts. The thing I loved, which I thought was awesome, and now I've got to sort of go out and do this on myself, were themed snack crawls. I want to go out and experience every food, I don't know who I'm pointing to, but every food on a stick item here at Epcot, the pretzel crawl, the strawberry crawl, the cheese crawl, I dig that.
Oh, the cheese crawl. You can't turn me off about cheese. I love that stuff. And there's a lot of good stuff here to try. Yeah, I could talk about this stuff all day. I love that. I love all
that. That's okay. We have all day, so this will be the longest show ever. But let's talk about some of the best. And before we get to World Showcase, I do want to talk about Future World, because I think if you sort of mentally wander Future World, you say, well, there's a few kiosks here. There's a pretzel cart. There's the espresso cart, which has the oh-so-delicious chocolate, I don't know. They're very healthy, I think. The chocolate croissant things, which give you a little bit of energy in the morning. But you point out some place that has a wide variety of snacks over at Sunshine Seasons.
Sunshine Seasons, if you are talking food in Future World, you want to hit Sunshine Seasons first. It is actually probably one of the best counter service locations in all of Walt Disney World. It offers something for everyone because you can also find a lot of good vegetarian items there. You can find a lot of good... If you're gluten-free, if you're looking for something that is for a special diet, they've got it all there. But it's just amazing the variety of things they have there, and they switch them out regularly, so you're not always faced with the same choices.
And again, when we were talking about snacks, as I was going through, yes, you see things like caramel crunch cake and some of the sweet things, but you might not think about something like an Asian chicken salad as a snack, which for just a few dollars is a great way to sort of get you out in between meals. Do you have anything in Sunshine Seasons, which maybe is a favorite or something that is overlooked by a lot of people?
Well, if you read my blog, you know I actually love the I do love the sweet stuff. Although they do have over there, you can get a great cheese plate. You can get a lot of good like hummus and antipasta, pasta salads, lots of different small things that are really quite exceptional. Personally, though, the thing that really matters over at Sunshine Seasons, if you have a chance to get over there, is that strawberry shortcake. Everybody who tries it loves it. It's there all the time. Clearly, it's a guest favorite, and it is. I ate it with someone yesterday for the first time. It was the first time he had eaten it, and he said, "This is fantastic. This is really, really good. You know, definitely good choice." So that's a good thing to try.
When I think snacks and Sunshine Seasons, I start going over to the little bakery area, especially for breakfast. I think because there's very few places in Epcot to get something for breakfast. You can go over to Electric Umbrella, but if you want a little bit of little coffee, little nosh, go get your Soarin' Fast Pass, get a little sweet treat to give you a little sugar to start the day.
Absolutely. And you know, something else just rang a bell in my head. Something else that I really like at Sunshine Seasons is that they have soups there. Now, soups are very good in terms of snacks because they're going to keep you full until your next meal, but it's not going to be a huge, you know, caloric outlay for you. If you're hungry, if you're just, you know, want a little nosh during the day, that's a great thing to have. And they've got really good ones there.
And another place to think about in Future World almost starts to let me lead into World Showcase. Because when I thought about World Showcase, I think people need to break down the options into a few different things. Because you do have the counter service locations. You have the promenade carts and the kiosks, much like the Kakigori, which has been staring at me. It's laughing at me off in the distance. And some of the other things, too, are the in-store packaged snacks.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that when we get to World Showcase, but jumping back into Future World, Mouse Gear is one of those places where it has something like a Goofy's Candy Company.
Absolutely. They have like a mini Goofy's Candy Company in there. And they're doing this at a lot of different... There's one in Hollywood Studios, too. There's a bunch of these, but they've got the... a huge wall of bulk candy, tons and tons and tons of bulk candy. You want jelly beans, you want M&Ms, you want any of that. So gummies, oh my heavens, the gummies. But, you know, they also have their packaged goods, their chocolatiers that they have. The Chip and Dale stuff. The Chip and Dale stuff is a little bit healthier if you want to go for like, you know, a trail mix kind of thing.
I'm a coconut patty kind of guy because as we know, everything tastes better when it's shaped like Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it's coconut, it's fruit, and there's like the cocoa, which is, no?
Super healthy. Super healthy. Dark chocolate is good for you, and those are, you can find the dark chocolate coconut patties, and yeah, no, absolutely.
And as far as the wall of candy,
yeah.
Here's a tip for you at home. I did find out that Disney actually frowns on you actually sticking your mouth right underneath the space. You're supposed to actually use the bags and not just... No, I...
Oh, bummer.
Might want to add that to the guide.
Who knew? Who knew?
Who would have thought?
They also have the Goofy Sour Powder there, too, if you're, you know, a big Sour Powder fan, which I know Lou is. He's a huge fan of that.
Yeah, and my kids all the time are like, Dad, can I get that large thing of just pure sugar because we're not quite sugared up enough? So I said, next time you go to stay at Aunt AJ's house, we're going to load you up with some sugar.
Did you know they started to do caramel apples with the sour powder on them? Have you seen those?
I'm giving you the quizzical look.
They did them for the first time in Disneyland a few months ago, and now they brought them over here so you can get them in, you know, the confectionery and things like that. They're the actual caramel apples with the white chocolate coating and then coated with sour powder. So,
do you dig it?
I've not tried them yet. I'm a little nervous. They're on the blog because our Disneyland columnist Heather went for it. She tried one. She tried a green apple sour powder one, but I haven't done it yet.
I'm not sure if I would dig the apple and the sour. But before we just leave Future World real quick, listen, when you think of theme park food, chances are you also, especially because it's so hot, you got to think about ice cream. So over at Fountain View, you got it. And what I love is going in there, getting some of the ice cream, like in a waffle cone, sitting outside in the shade on one of the shaded tables and watching the Fountain of Nations.
And what's dangerous about that place is they make those waffle cones in-house, so it smells like those waffle cones when you walk in there. Something else that you can get there, there's only a couple places in each park, sometimes one place in each park, where you can get those homemade ice cream cookie sandwiches. And Fountain View is where you can get it in Epcot, and it's so delicious. And it is a snack credit, which is shocking to me because it's so much food for a snack credit. It's like, you know, it costs like $5. So the fact that you can get that for a snack credit is a great value.
Yeah. All right. So let's make our way into World Showcase. And we might as well just browse the promenade and virtually eat and snack our way around the world. And again, I think this is one of those things where there's great opportunity here. And you might walk by Mexico and not realize that there's a wide variety of snacks, both packaged snacks and some of the fresh ones as well, too. What is maybe your favorite or the best snack in Mexico? You're staring off in the distance.
I'm thinking. I'm like, I know what he's going to ask me best, and I hate answering best because there's so many that I love. Mexico.
It's Mexican. Okay if you want to say a margarita. That a margarita is a snack.
I do love the margaritas, and I do think they are in the snack book. I can't. Yes, they are in the snack book. I do put margaritas in there because, ladies and gentlemen, to me, that is a snack. Now you can get the margaritas inside the pyramid at Cava del Tequila, or you can get the subpar margaritas. Ooh. At the margarita kiosk outside. Now, those are subpar margaritas to the Cava ones. However, they are historically, you know, classic to Disney World. They've been there forever. So another place you can get margaritas is over at La Cantina de San Angel. And over there, you also can get churros. You can get paletas, which a lot of people don't even know about, which are the popsicles, Mexican popsicles. Now, I'm wary of the mango chili spice one because it kind of knocked me on my butt when I tried it. I was not expecting it.
That's because you were dipping it in your margaritas.
No, I probably should have. But it's salty. It's salty and sweet at the same time, but it's a powerful salty taste, which you don't expect with an icy popsicle kind of thing. And it's very popular in Mexico, but it takes some getting used to if you don't have that palate yet.
Yeah, I'll stick to the coconut ones. Yeah. Because they are a little bit different than your sort of traditional buy it in your grocer's freezer popsicle.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. But that's a good example of something you're not going to find that anywhere else in Walt Disney World. That's the only place that has those. And it's really fun to try. And again, you're not laying out a lot of money. So if your kid wants to try the mango spice chili one and she says, "Oh, that's gross, Mom, throw it away." You know, that's fine. She got to try it. Something new and something different, a new experience she had in Disney.
Yeah, my kids like the margaritas in La Cava a little bit better than ones. No, is that?
Yeah, yeah. Mine do too.
Puts them right to sleep in a stroller. Everybody has a good time. I agree with you. The margaritas outside, they're easily accessible as you're walking through. You don't have to worry about going inside the pyramid.
Right.
But the ones inside are kind of snacks because the flavors are so very unique. We talk about, you know, a mango chili popsicle. You don't think about a margarita that's a jalapeno or a cucumber or an avocado, yep. Which sounds awful, but they're phenomenal.
And so healthy because veggies.
That's right. It's vegetables.
And they have vegetables in them. When they make their avocado margarita, they pull the avocados out of the refrigerator and make them with avocados. So you're getting good fats.
Right.
You know, it's healthy, good for your heart.
I love how you're looking at me like we're selling it to each other. Like, I believe this too.
Yeah. So while you're in La Cava, something that you really can't leave without is trying the queso there. I am a huge queso fan. Living in New York, I didn't know what queso was because I grew up in Western New York where it was just called nacho cheese. And I hadn't really had good queso. When I moved to Texas, I learned what good queso was. And let me tell you, the queso at La Cava is my favorite in the world right now. It is so, so, so good. So definitely try that stuff too.
And that's, you know, that's what we were talking about before. It's that savory, not just, snacks can be savory. And look, go in there. Here's a great pairing. You get your margarita or your virgin margarita, if that's your flavor. And you match it up with the salty and the savory of the jalapeno queso and the salty fresh chips. That's a party.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I could sit there all afternoon. It's not really very cost effective because it costs a lot to get into Epcot. But I could probably sit there all afternoon and have just as much fun as if I was riding Spaceship Earth, which I love, by the way.
Speaking of places where it's not, you might not necessarily have a productive day, but I could spend the afternoon in Norway, at the Kringla Bakery Og Cafe Snacks. Because when I think of snacks, oftentimes that's where my mind, it's where my little feet and little legs eventually end up walking me to, because there's so many good ones here, from the sweet to the savory to ones you can have for breakfast. We could do, and maybe we should do, an entire show about the snacks in Norway.
You really could. And I have to tell you, Lou, the last time I went to Norway, I got a lot of those snacks. I just bought a lot of them because I wanted to really talk about them on the blog, and I was writing the Epcot Snacks book and I wanted to get pictures of them. And I bought a lot of them, so I tried a lot, and there's like hundreds of things in there that you can try. And a lot of them are things you've never heard of, like lefse. I don't even know if I said that right. Lefse.
It's lefse. I love the lefse.
Do you? I don't like it. Okay, okay, so here's the thing. This is
I'm making
good.
Sad face.
This is good, because we can go back and forth. Now, the guy, that when I told the cast member, you know, this really didn't do it for me. What lefse is, if you don't know, it's a potato, kind of like a potato tortilla, basically. And they have a butter, cinnamon, sugar mixture that they roll up inside. Now, that sounds perfect, right? So I have no idea why I didn't love it. But the guy said to me, ask them to heat it up before you get it, which is a good tip. Ask them to heat it up for you, and maybe it's, you know. But a lot of people love this stuff, absolutely love it. And I think I got a bad batch.
I love the lefse. I did a show where we did a detailed look at Norway with Norwegians, and we talked about lefse, and people have brought me, like, fresh lefse with real Norwegians. And
now
I do
now
with more Norwegian, and I like the lefse because it's not overly sweet.
Yeah,
it's great, like with a cup of coffee. It's an awesome value. It's like $1.99 for two lefse.
No, exactly. And that's a lot of people do say that about some of the snacks in Norway, is that they're not too sweet. So if you're unlike me, and you'd rather not have basically a big lardy frosting for breakfast every day, because that's, you know, you guys know that's how I am. And you want something that's not too sweet, that's not going to just make your, you know, your tongue curl up the first time you try it. There's a lot of stuff in Norway that's going to be good for you. The school bread is very, very popular. Classic Disney snack. What this is kind of a roll with custard inside, toasted coconut on the top. The spice in it is cardamom. A lot of people say, oh, this is not too sweet. This is not too bad. So it looks kind of like a donut, but it's not as sweet as a donut. I think a lot of people like that, but the rice cream is also something that's very popular there, which is kind of like a rice pudding with strawberries on top. And it's really not going to knock your socks off in terms of sweetness, but it is delicious.
So what's your best of the best, your recommended snack? If you can only go there and have one thing in Norway, what would it be?
If you can only have one thing in Norway, I would probably have the school bread. I'm a big fan of it. I love that stuff. So I would go for that. But there's lots of neat stuff to try.
I'm a lefse guy. I do love the school bread because it has coconut, which instantaneously makes it healthy. But something you probably wouldn't think about, which I love, it's an awesome value, and you can really have it for breakfast. Again, World Showcase doesn't open until 11, but if you want a little late breakfast, early snack, the waffles with strawberry jam, you get a lot of waffle.
Yeah.
It's a fresh, warm, soft waffle with strawberry jam. You've got that mixture of the crunchy and the soft and the sweetness. It's easily shareable, and it's in fun little heart shapes, too.
I got to tell you, this thing costs $2.79, or at least it did when I wrote the snack book. I have to go check the menu now. But and the snack book just came out in February, so it's not that old, actually. But this thing is huge. It's a platter of waffles. It is giant. Like, you could easily, four people could eat this with no problem, and everybody would have had enough. So another great value, a great deal.
And it's a finger food. It's not like a giant waffle that you need to cut with your knife and fork.
It's a sandwich.
It's a sandwich.
Yeah, it's kind of a sandwich. So you can just pick up little, and it's easily broken into pieces, so you can pick it up, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
For those people that like to share, unlike clearly AJ and I, that's a good option as well, too. I would definitely recommend that, the rice cream, and give the lefse a try. It's $2. Give the lefse a try. All right, moving.
And give it to Lou when you don't
and
like if, it.
And I'm just follow AJ and follow us, and chances are you'll have some extra food. All right, so moving over to China, this is another one of those places that, you know, the options are kind of all over the place, because inside, you want to do something fun, go inside and try some of the different packaged candies. We're here in Japan. It's another good option here too,
yeah,
because the variety, it's not your mom's M&Ms.
And that's another, I can also make a plug for Norway for the packaged candies, because you got some crazy stuff. For a long time, I don't know if they're still there, but for a long time they had those those salted licorice,
uh-huh,
Swedish fish, like literally salted black licorice.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're still there, but I was like, really? What's going on?
Norway's big on licorice, and my little Norwegian friends, when they came, brought me a little hockey puck with licorice powder. It is the worst thing I've ever put in my mouth, but it's like the kids there, and they eat it like candy because it is.
So imagine that with salt on it.
They do have some, like, if you like, I love black licorice. Give me some black Twizzlers, I'm down. But that's like some super intense licorice there.
That's serious, yeah. That's serious.
I think you could actually run your car. You could just pour it into your gas tank.
Yeah, but a lot of the countries do have packaged snacks that are, you know, imported from that country. Well, Yeah, imported from that country, I think, right? I think they're from there. They're probably made in New Jersey, but you know, whatever. They have it's written in that language on the front. So yeah, but there's lots of different stuff to try. But I think in China specifically, my choices would probably be over at the Joy of Tea booth. I'm a big fan of the Joy of Tea booth. They've got so much fun stuff. And the people that, the cast members there are always so much fun. Like, they always want you to try their stuff really badly. Like, they want you to try their new stuff. And they've got a new thing there called the Tipsy Duck Drink, which is a mixture of coffee and tea with, like, Jim Beam in it. Whoa. Which is crazy. That's not in the book yet. It'll be in next year's version. But they also have things. They have little snacks like pork buns. They have a chicken curry pocket, which is delicious. It's like this flaky pastry with chicken curry with a chicken curry inside. It's not messy or anything. It's very much a finger food. And then if you head over to Lotus Blossom Cafe, which is a counter service place over there, they do have things like pot stickers. They have different ice creams there that you can try, like a red bean ice cream, which actually has a strawberry flavor to it as well. So it's not what you expect, but it's interesting for your kids to try. You know, like they can say, oh, neat, I tried, you know, bean ice cream, right? So neat stuff.
Which is obviously healthy because it has beans in it.
Beans.
But I'm with you on the tea cart outside. I'm a tea person. There's a lot of different hot and especially this time of year, frozen items in there as well too, which can be snacks. So like the strawberry oolong tea slushy is a I think it's a non-alcoholic one, but they do have some alcoholic versions as well too. But I'll give you my best value because I actually have a video out or coming out by the time you hear this of a Best Buy, and I don't know if it's still there as now, but I like the savory more than I like the sweet. They have a combination where you get a curry chicken pocket, an egg roll, a pork bun, a little green tea ice cream, and a can of soda for $10.
Nice. You could feed a family of five on that.
Or Lou.
Or AJ. But not both of us. Oh, that's great. Yeah. I didn't even know about that. That's super.
Yeah. Nice. Good value, and it's delicious, and by the time you get to Germany, you'll be hungry again because that's just the way we roll. All right, so let's move over to Germany. And this too, when especially now, when you think of Germany, chances are your mind and your heart and your stomach and your credit card goes over to the name that I cannot pronounce. So please excuse me, my German friends, when I say Carmel. It's the Carmel Kitchen is what it is. Before we get there, this is another great place too, where a lot of the packaged snacks, you know, you can be very daring. Don't even read what it says. Just pick one up and try it.
So something that I love in Germany in terms of the packaged snacks, there is this, they have these little bottles of, these little chocolate bottles of brandy candy. I think it's brandy that's in it. Yeah, brandy. And, these things are crazy. Like I keep talking about alcohol. I don't know what's going on this show, Lou. But these are really interesting. They're little chocolate foil wrapped bottles, and they have literally just a bunch of brandy inside, and they're so much fun. But like, whoever finds that? Who would expect that to be in Disney World, right? Nobody. Nobody would expect. I'm going to go to Disney World. I'm going to try these little German brandy chocolates. But
So when your kids bring them to you, make sure you read the label first.
That's right. Unless you want them to have a nap and then go ahead. But
wow, the kids are having a great time.
But yeah, so there's lots of there's German cookies. There's also savory packaged products, things like knickknacks, which are the little peanuts, and then there's palm sticks, which are like basically, you know, potato sticks, pretty much. Which we like if you go to the snack pairings in the back of the book, we like to pair that with the chocolate cupcakes from Caramel Kucha, the palm sticks with the chocolate cupcake. I mean that's awesome, man, right?
Before we get to the Caramel Kitchen, though, this is another, I think this is one of the overlooked hidden treasures, great snack place, because I think people walk by Germany, they see the beer garden as the sit-down restaurant, which is a lot of fun, great time. If you leave hungry, something is really, really wrong with you. Or the pretzel cart and beer wagon across the way, but they overlook Summerfest.
Yeah.
So if you go into that area, which would have been the entrance to the Rhine River attraction, right back there, you can get a bratwurst and pair it with a soda, a beer, whatever it is, and it's like $7, $8 for a big, meaty brat on a nice, crusty roll.
I love finding those very low-cost basically counter service meals. I mean it's a little more than a snack probably for most people if you're not, you know, me, but but it is, I mean, it's less than $7. I mean, it's a great deal, and you can share that too. Also at Summerfest, they have some really nice desserts. They've got a Black Forest cake roll thing. They've got apple strudel. They have some desserts that you're really not going to find anywhere else in Walt Disney World. So those are fun to try too.
But I think that you need to make it a point to visit and make sure you always leave room for dessert or for snacks. You need to go visit, I'm going to call it the Caramel Kitchen, because okay. I keep calling it Caramel Coochie. I know that's not how it's pronounced. It's Caramel Coochie. It is, you could not imagine so many different ways to make and experience and enjoy and love caramel.
It's basically take everything that you've ever loved and put caramel on it. And that's what they have there. And they make a phenomenal caramel corn as well.
You gotta have it when it's hot.
Yeah, you do. I'm sad that they stopped giving out the free samples. When they first opened, they gave out free samples. But and just here's a little tip. Get that caramel corn, take it home with you, because it's a good, it travels well. And then if it starts to get stale, just stick it in the microwave for like 15 seconds and it'll like revive. It's still good when it's stale. I've eaten many, many bags of stale caramel corn, but it's a good tip.
I wish people could see your face because you speak about it so soft and lovingly, like, oh, just put it in the microwave. And
this is serious stuff, Lou.
This
is important. I understand that you maybe, some of you out there don't think this is important to me.
All right, so there are literally dozens and dozens of different things in the caramel store, from the things you would think about, like chocolate-covered strawberries, to chocolate and caramel-covered pretzels. Caramel apples are phenomenal there. Another tip, they will cut them up for you. Easy to share, easy to transport, much easier, I think, to eat as well, too. Anything that you said, like you said, that could be dipped in caramel, chances are they can. Even the caramel with the fudge, with the salt, the dark chocolate with the salt on top.
That's the dark horse winner right there. It's basically a square of caramel that's covered in either dark chocolate or milk chocolate. And it has a little bit of sea salt on top. And it's just wonderful. Yeah.
You wouldn't think it brings out the sweetness. It totally brings out the sweetness.
Well, you know, the whole salted caramel trend is getting really big here in Disney World. Disney's always about 6 months late on food trends, because it's hard to roll something out like that. You know, what's harder to do that across a whole? So they do a really good job of actually, you know, getting the trends in. But the salted caramel thing is starting to come. Actually, at the Food and Wine Festival this year, they're going to have a salted caramel dessert over at the dessert and champagne booth, which is, I had it last night at the Tables in Wonderland event. Absolutely amazing. It is so good. So, yeah.
Can you pick a best of the best? Can you pick one that's a favorite or you have to try it? Or you may not think this would be good, but get it there?
I would get that salted caramel chocolate thing, definitely. Oh, I forgot to talk about. Oh, I have to talk about this. So they have this thing. I don't even know what it's called right now. I think it's called, I don't even know. But it's what it is shortbread. Okay, it's a piece of shortbread covered in caramel and then with little shortbread, little drops of shortbread on the top of it as well. It's in the book. I can't remember what it's called, but it is heaven on a plate. It is absolutely unbelievable. Amazing. That's it.
The chewy caramel bar.
Chewy caramel bar. That's what it is. And if you look at the picture of it in the book, you will want that immediately. I mean, I get there's no chocolate involved, so, but that's okay.
So I'm going to tell you, I go in and oftentimes I'll get like a pretzel stick because I think it's small and it's a little bit healthier. But they have this caramel-filled chocolate cookie, which is just incredibly moist and decadent, and it's that perfect marriage of chocolate and caramel, and you get it at like 8:45, you go outside in the promenade, you watch Illuminations, and you are in heaven.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's so good, and it's so unassuming looking. It just looks like a regular old chocolate cookie, but it's so, so good. And just if you're headed there now, they've just started to introduce caramel, chocolate and caramel covered grapes, chocolate and caramel covered pineapple as well. So, you know, for those of you who are being healthy on your Disney trip, there you go. Pineapple, grapes, chocolate, caramel, super.
Oh, I dig the idea of fruit mixed with, I'm never going to get out of World Showcase tonight, just
no,
so you know.
No, I know. I know. I would live here. Pop a tent.
Yeah. I probably should also mention the pretzels too, because I love pretzels in Walt Disney World. Pretzels taste better when they're shaped like Mickey Mouse, but they really taste good here because they're a little bit different.
They are different. I believe they're hand done, real German pretzels. Like, it's funny. I put a picture of the German pretzels on my Facebook page the other day, and one of my readers from Germany basically wrote in German, so I had to look at the translation. She's like, it's not real if it's not in Germany, which is probably true, but at least it's an approximation. They're getting there with it. So they're different. They're different from the regular German pretzels.
A stein of beer, a pretzel, a brat, that too, forgetting about the sweet, if that's not your thing, that's a great little snack right there. That'll get you in between meals.
Definitely. Good to share too. Not messy if you have the kids. Not messy at all. So.
Still not sure what this whole sharing thing is. All right, Let's move over to Italy. And oftentimes when you think of Italy, you think of pastas, you think of meats, you think of pizza, you think of Via Napoli. But what about snacks?
So Italy is a tough one when it comes to snacks. There really aren't too many options there. Where you're going to have to go is into the little shops, like the wine shop, and there's a shop with a bunch of different, actually, food products. You got pastas and things in there. But they do have a wall of candy, and most of it's going to be hazelnut-based candy, but they do have a wall of candy, and they also have several other packaged items that are... really interesting stuff. They have little mini panettones. I don't know if you've had that. Of course you have. They have little mini ones, especially around the Christmas time. And so Italy is just a little treasure trove if you actually know where to look. Now, the place that I would say, if you can only hit one stop in Italy, head over to that gelato bar. I don't even know what you want to call it. It's basically a snack kiosk out in front of Italy. But they create these unbelievable sundaes, things that you would never, ever guess would come out of a random little kiosk. It's gelato, it's strawberry sauces with real strawberries and whipped cream and all these crazy things. And they just actually introduced recently little ice cream sandwiches with gelato in them that you can get. And they'll make them right there for you with any gelato flavor you want. They have cannoli there. They have smoothies. So... again, don't discount the kiosks, because every once in a while you're going to find some really unique stuff there.
And also, don't necessarily think that gelato is just ice cream with an Italian name to it. It's different in the consistency, in the sweetness, in the texture. It's almost a little bit lighter than mm-hmm. traditional ice cream, like with heavy cream. But here's another potential best snack. Again, depending on what you define as a snack, I know a lot of friends of mine, not that they just do nothing but drink around the world, but one thing they love doing, especially late in the evening, is going into Italy. There's an Italian wine, a Rosa Regala wine, that they pair with a piece of dark chocolate, which is phenomenal. And that's a great way to experience a new wine and see how the chocolate complements the wine and the wine complements and changes the flavor of the chocolate too.
Oh, that's really wonderful. Oh, I feel so cultured just listening to you talk about that.
I don't know what I'm talking about, but that's what I see them doing, and they seem to love it.
That's great. Now, something that's not in the snacks book yet, because it opened after we put this book out, but it will be in the next version, is Tutto Gusto. Now, that's going to be a good place to go get some snacks as well, because it's even though it's a place where you get served. I mean, you have a server. You can get very low cost little bits of food, cheeses or meats or a panini maybe, and that's a great place to go get out of the heat, sit down, relax with your friends, have a glass of wine and have a great little snack. It's not going to be a full meal a lot of the time, even though you can get a full meal there. It's a good place to have a little snack, so try that out too.
And as we get to the center of the promenade and the American Adventure, this is one of the places that I've always said that in the past I'd always been disappointed with the Liberty Inn, because I said, there's such an opportunity here to showcase such a wide variety of American flavors, from Pan-Asian to barbecue to, Northeast, whatever it may be. And for the most part, it is hamburgers and chicken nuggets. And they've done a couple of different things they actually have a great sort of black bean vegetable burger. When I'm usually not a vegetable burger kind of guy, but it's great. It's got a sort of a spicy sweetness to it. But in here is where one of my little favorite snacks is, especially when it does get a little cool in Florida, and it does happen. And it's like $3.50, $4. This is where you made a great pairing idea. You can get a little bowl of chili, get it with some fries, get a little drink. That to me is a great snack there, especially getting away from the sweet stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something that'll kind of stick, it's a little more stick to your ribs, you know, than a cupcake or something like that. So that's a great idea. Yeah, I'm disappointed in that place too, because I feel like it's almost paying homage to the stereotype that Americans just eat burgers and chicken nuggets, which, you know, I do, but not everybody does. So that's unfortunate. But they do have they have a good roast beef sandwich there, and they do have the apple crisp for dessert, which is definitely a counter service, you know, a counter service dessert, which isn't going to be fabulous, but it's a yummy pastry. This is the same apple crisp that they have over at Columbia Harbor House in Magic Kingdom. But it's something a little different from what you're going to get other places. Now, the place that I love in the American Adventure is the Fife and Drum Tavern. And over there, that's become like this little treasure trove of awesome Disney snacks. Like I did a post about it the other day, because they pulled in all the different pretzels. They've got the jalapeno pretzel there now. They've got the cream cheese pretzel. They've got the Red Stag lemonade, frozen lemonade from the Food and Wine Festival last year is there now. They've got turkey legs there. They've got the American Dream slushy. Like, it's two flavors of slushy with ice cream in them. They've got all kinds of stuff here. You'd never guess it. Again, another kiosk that you're like, where in the world did this come from?
Yeah, I got turned on to it when it was first introduced during the Food and Wine Festival, and they had the lobster and stuff in there, and I'm like, Yahtzee, this instantly became a favorite kiosk of mine, too. But yeah, you know, a turkey leg can be a snack, and some of those things can be a snack, and I think a lot of people just walk by it because they don't know. And we would be remiss if we didn't at least mention the funnel cake.
Yes, and you know what I just realized just now? They've introduced a strawberry funnel cake, like flavored strawberry, not strawberries on top, but flavored strawberry funnel cake. In the fall, they have a spice one. They have a spice funnel cake. Yeah. So again, this is another place where don't judge a book by its cover.
Nice. All right, so we're in Japan. We're sitting outside Katsura Grill. If you've listened to the show before, favorite pavilion, favorite counter service restaurant, favorite sort of place to just sit outside, which is part of the reason why I picked it. And I've also done a video here where we've gone into Mitsukoshi Department Store and did exactly what I said. We pulled off a couple of pre-packaged snacks, and here's where you can have fun, you could be adventurous. There's so many different options here. Katsura Grill has everything from edamame or green tea ice cream, and there's also the little carts and kiosks outside. But going inside, you can get everything from sweet snacks to pocky to the gummy snacks. There is a lot of dried. They're really into the dried fish stuff. I'll post a link to the video where we tasted some of the small dried crabs. I'm not quite graduated to the cuttlefishes yet, but it wasn't bad. It was actually interesting. It did not hold well in the heat, but it was fun. And it was fun to sort of do a culinary adventure inside.
Yes. That place is just like this crazy little gold mine. There's so much to try there, and you can't read what any of it says, so you don't really know what you're ever going to get when you open it up anyway. But that's a lot of fun. And then they've got, you know, I'll bring up the alcohol again, because apparently that's what I do. They've got the sake bar in there as well, which is a fun place to go try. They have sake flights that you can try in there, which is very interesting. And it's never very busy, because nobody knows it's back there. So there's good stuff. And then when you hit, when you come out, you want to go over to Kabuki Cafe, where you can get what?
Kakigori.
Yes. The thing that's been staring at you forever. So over at Kabuki Cafe, it's the Kakigori stand glorified, where they've added a few more. You can get edamame there now. You get miso soup. Again, I love the soups. I need to do a whole counter service snack soup book, because they got great soups in Disney World that nobody even knows about. They got miso soup. They got, what else do they have there?
I usually try and avoid the soups when it's 113 degrees out, because I'm looking for something sweet and refreshing, and that's what Kakigori does.
And healthy, because it's just ice.
It's just ice. It's not your grandfather's shaved Italian lemon ice from the carnival. This is very, very different.
No, this is more the Hawaiian shave ice kind of feel, and you get lots of different flavors, and they've got the sweet milk topping, if that's your thing. I'm a little scared of that myself, but people say it's wonderful, so I should probably try it. So that's
research.
That's why I'm I'm such a picky eater. It's a food blog's really good for me because I try new things. But yeah, so Kakigori is definitely, and it's so cost effective too. It's $3.50. You can share it with a bunch of people.
Yeah, kids love it too. They can mix and match all the flavors and stuff too. All right, let's move down the promenade again. Morocco. I think Morocco is one of those places that scares people just by virtue of the name Morocco, because they think it's something exotic, it's spicy, it's curry. What kind of dessert would they possibly have? To that I say nay. Tangerine Cafe is one of my favorite counter service restaurants. Love the shawarma platter in there as well too. Great value, as I'm sure you know. But the trick here is to go into the back of the Tangerine Cafe and sample some of the really cool sweet treats there. I know everybody thinks baklava. I actually have a different favorite.
Oh, what's your different favorite?
I tried last time I was there, just to be different. They have sort of this almond sponge cake with shaved almonds on top. It's got orange flavoring too. It's sweet. It's savory. It's not overly sweet like the baklava. It's very, very sweet with the honey on top. And that became a new favorite. That, along with the Moroccan mint tea, which I dig.
Bingo. Yes, the mint tea is classic here. Everybody, you got to try that. I'm going to go stereotypical, and I'm going to say I love the baklava here. They've got three different flavors, three different nuts.
I didn't say I wouldn't eat it if you put it in front of me.
No, that's true. That's true. It's just, it's a little more boring because it's expected, but I absolutely adore that stuff. And I had it for the first time in Marrakesh, in the restaurant, and I love that stuff. And I've always been a big baklava fan. Again, healthy because it's nuts, good fats. But a couple of other things just to chat about here is, even if you're not back in that bakery area, they do have a couple of side dishes, and that's a good place to look for snacks, is side dishes at counter service places, because they are, you know, they are around $3 or $4. They are usually a snack credit. And Over in Tangerine Cafe, you've got couscous salad and the tabbouleh, which are two things that, you know, are a little more on the healthy side for you, if that's what you're looking for. And
if that's your thing, if you want to be healthy,
which, you know, a lot of people it is. And those are great little snacks. They're small portions. They're cool salads. So if it's hot outside, it's great. It's perfect. And you'd never find those. You'd never guess that that's something that you should maybe save your snack credit for.
I do like the couscous salad. That and the tabbouleh usually is what would you get on the side of the shawarma platter. But I never thought about actually getting them as an actual snack.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's interesting.
All right. So when you go to France, the first thing you think of is?
The first thing I think of is the cheese plate, but that's, which, yeah, I love that thing. But there's so much there.
Because everybody thinks, you think France, you think French pastries, you're going to the Napoleons. And for me, those are not the snacks I think of when I think of the bakery there, which obviously, as we know, is expanding.
Yes, it is expanding very soon. It's going to be a larger bakery with sandwiches and soups and all kinds of wonderful things. So the bakery, if you've been to the bakery there right now, is very, very small. So it's very, there's no place to sit inside. And so I think we're going to have a great new thing coming.
Yeah, so you mentioned the cheese plate, which a lot of people might not think of as a snack, but you get, it's shareable. There are a variety. They get maybe, what, three different types of cheeses?
You get three cheeses, and these are the same cheeses that are served in Chefs de France in the restaurant on their cheese plate. So it's, you know, a lot more cost-effective to get them out here. And it's a big portion. I mean, again, I'm talking a platter of cheese, like a lot of cheese. So get that, get a little baguette, and you got a meal, man. It's fantastic.
And the cheese platter is only about $6, too. It's easily shareable. Look, certainly cheese, the cream puffs and the eclairs and the creme brulee, the crepes across the way. My kids are a huge fan of the crepes. There's a sugar, chocolate, and strawberry, I think.
And they have ice cream now. They have
ice cream crepe?
Yep. Yes, they do.
You match that with a Grand Marnier or my personal favorite, the Grey Goose Citron Lemonade Slush.
I'm so glad to hear that's your favorite, because that's my favorite too. And I think, you know, we did a poll on the blog and people like the Grand Marnier one better, but I love that lemon one. I really do.
And I'm perfectly comfortable sticking out my pinky, holding up that little cocktail glass and drinking my slushy on the promenade. I don't need a big stein of beer. And that is refreshing. A little bit dangerous because you don't taste anything but the lemon.
It's definitely a girl drink that way, where like you just you.
Oh, I can't order it anymore now. You just called it a girl drink.
No, it's you don't taste anything. It's very fruity. You don't taste that that alcohol and don't just. After your first one, don't go right back. Just give yourself half an hour and wait and see what happens first. Yeah, definitely. It's so good.
Notice she said after your first one, as if it's just, you know, it's implied you'll getting it. But so my best of the best in France is not the cheese. It's not it's the ham and cheese croissant.
Yes.
That's the worst pronunciation of croissant ever. But it's $3.25. There's a lot of food. I mean, that could be your lunch, and it's a shareable lunch.
It's huge. It's massive. I mean, it's delicious. I believe they use a Gruyere cheese on there, which is such a flavorful, wonderful Swiss cheese. So it's amazing. It's an amazing value.
And croissant with butter. Everything is better with butter.
That's true. But they have other little savory items at that bakery that could definitely be lunch for, you know, you or you and a friend. So it's a great place.
Yeah. There is a huge repeatability factor for a lot of these places, because just because you go once, doesn't mean you can't go again and try something else. So moving over to the UK, I will tell you that one of the things that my kids and my wife are always enjoy doing is not necessarily getting the fish and chips or not going, and they love sampling the different candies from the UK. You go into the Twinings Tea Caddy, and you can talk to some of the cast members about the wide variety, some of which are similar. You know, there's Kit Kats that are a little bit different, but my wife, you know, loved the crunchies. And there's ones with little air pockets and different fruits and flavors. And even the milk chocolates are different.
Yeah, they are, because a lot of them are Cadbury, which you don't find as often here in the States. Personally, I love, if you're standing there looking at the candy, I like to turn around and look at the shelves behind the candy, like on the other side of the aisle from the candy, because over there is my favorite candy in the whole wide world, which is Roundtree's fruit gums and Roundtree's fruit pastels, which I used to eat by the caseload when I lived in London. I mean, I just used to eat them all the time. And so I buy them here, and they're like $7 a box. It's a horrible ripoff. But I love those things. I dig those. I also like the hobnobs. They've got these little cookies called hobnobs, which are oatmeal. All of you in the UK, you know I love that stuff. It's like these oatmeal cookies with milk chocolate on top. Oh, they're so good. So good.
I think if we have to say best of the best, I think going into the York County fish and chips, you're in the UK, you've got to have the fish and chips, and the ones that are outside are phenomenal, and they're served in sort of that old newsprint style paper. You should eat it the way they do, or at least I do, in the UK. You just drench them in malt vinegar, which you can find outside, salt and vinegar on your French fries as well. You can pair it with a Guinness if that's your thing, or whatever your beverage of choice is. I'm not a Guinness guy. It's like drinking charcoal, but that's beside the point. But it's a meal that could also be considered a snack.
Definitely. And if you just want the fries or the chips, you can just get the chips if you want to do that. That can be a snack for you as well. I love, if you want to get out of the heat, head into the pub. The pub actually has food that they serve, and they've got a lot of really good lower cost items. Something that I love there is called a British Bulldog, which is this is amazing. It's a sausage, a British sausage with bacon and cheese and mustard, spicy mustard. Oh my gosh, it's amazing. Definitely a little bit more of a meal than a snack, but if you're like me, it's a snack. They also have a great cheese plate there that you can have, which to me can be a great snack in the middle of the day. Get some protein. You're on your way.
Time it right. The Hat Lady is there too. Go listen to the Hat Lady.
And say hi to Carl, the bartender, if you're there during the week, because he's just wonderful. Have him do his coin trick for you. It's awesome.
AJ seems to be very familiar with the drinks and now the bartender. So, okay, finally, let's move over to Canada. I think many people, my wife included, lament the loss of certain things. So we miss the beaver tails on the promenade. She misses the maple candy, but there's still a lot of different maple flavored candy. Because I'm trying to think of things that are very representative of those nations.
I know. Canada really gets the short end of the stick when it comes to snacks here. Like, really, the only places to go for snacks here are in the little shops up at the top of the hill, where you've got a lot of Canadian candies and things like that. You do have a few like maple things, I guess. So you know, lollipops or the maple sugar candies. But it's really, it does get the short end of the stick when it comes to snacks, sadly.
Yeah, beaver tail. They used to have a beaver tail cart outside that you could have with chocolate or fruit on it. If they put a little poutine stand outside, which we in Jersey call disco fries, but
that is
right with the real cheese curd and
I will go to Le Cellier and just order 6 poutines and eat them. I don't care if they're lunch poutine or dinner poutine. I don't care. I will just eat poutine all day. I love that stuff. So if they, that's a great idea, Lou. Let's do that. Let's make that happen.
If anybody's listening that could make that happen, the poutine cart outside of Canada.
I'm going to open my own poutine cart in Canada because I want it to be there. Bring my poutine in a little bag every day.
I'm sorry, miss. You're not allowed to. If security comes over, miss, you cannot sell your own poutine on the promenade.
It's okay. You guys can have some. You can have some of it, and then it's all good.
Everything is better with poutine. But listen, you know, no matter where you are, whether it's Future World or World Showcase, there's so many other snacks, too, that you'll find throughout the parks. You'll find things in the coffee carts, things like the almonds. You mentioned in the guide, things like craisins, which are portable. They'll last throughout the day. They're easily snackable for kids, because I have two kids, so those are sort of some of the things you think about. There are some healthy snacks, but we'll just go right past those as well, too. If you had to tell somebody who's going to Epcot, it's their last day here, and say, hey, listen, I've never been to Epcot before. I want to try something. What is the best of the best, the best of the best of the best snack for you in Epcot Center?
The best snack for me, it so depends on the day. I would say go to Kringla, go to Carmel Kucha, and go to La France Bakery and get whatever floats your boat. Those are the three places I would say definitely hit. If you're only here for a day, at least walk into each of those places.
I think part of the thing is you can have so much fun trying these different things. You could be a little adventurous, depending on where you go. Mm-hmm. You can share it with people. You could really make a day or an afternoon out of it as you sort of sample your way around. You know, we talk about sort of walking around the world or eating around the world during Food and Wine. You could do it any time of the year, and there are so many different ways to enjoy it. I think what your book does is help sort of pull some of those things together, some of those ideas together. You can make it sort of little adventures. You can come up with some of those pairings. You know, we hear about wine pairings and beer pairings. We don't necessarily think about snack pairings, which make a lot of sense now that you do it. So those are things that I'm going to look to do in the future. And there's also a lot more that you cover in the book as well as far as other snack locations too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, my thinking, I really do believe food is a theme park. You're coming here on vacation, you're ready to have a fabulous time. Don't waste your money when it comes to what you're eating, when it comes to your fuel. Enjoy it, have fun with it, try new things, try different stuff, pair things together that you wouldn't normally pair. Let your kids try different stuff. Have fun with it and plan ahead, because that's the way you lose money, is when you don't plan ahead. And a lot of people understand that when it comes to airline flights and hotels, but they don't think about that when it comes to food. And you really do want to plan ahead, save some money, and eat some incredible things.
And this is where I would love to hear from people, because this is one of the things that, you know, everybody has their own favorite. So tell me, come and comment in this week's show note, what is your favorite snack in World Showcase? Or if you can only have one, what would it be? Or if you can only bring one to a deserted island and eat every single day, what would that Epcot snack be? Come to the site.
Did you say a dessert island? Because I like that.
It's like Candyland.
It's like Pleasure Island in Pinocchio. All right, sorry.
come by, leave your comments there. I would love to hear more. Also, as long as you're on the internet, make sure you go over and check out DisneyFoodBlog.com. Follow AJ over on Twitter. Again, I warn you to make sure you eat before you do that, because you tweet out such great pictures and such great reviews of the food. You always have photos of it as well, too. So it lets you sort of maybe be introduced to something that maybe you wouldn't have thought of. Now all of a sudden you're like, hey, that looks pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. Take a look at the pictures beforehand and see what you're going to get. Don't spend the money if it doesn't look good. So,
and I would also recommend checking out, you've got not just the guide to Epcot snacks, you have a guide to Magic Kingdom snacks, You have a Dining Adventures in the Magic Kingdom, which I dig because food is not just a theme park. It's now sort of a culinary adventure, and sort of you add strategies to make it more than just a way to find places to go eat, but a little bit of a hunt and adventure as well.
Absolutely. The Dining Adventures Guide is really, really fun. We also have the big monster 300-page DFB guide to all dining in Walt Disney World. And that's all of my tips and tricks from 20-odd years of eating here. So you can pick up all those books at dfbstore.com.
And because you love dining with me and you love WWE listeners, do you also have a special offer just for them?
We do have a special offer.
Because we love to eat. I will speak for everyone listening. We do love to eat at Disney World.
You can get an exclusive discount by using WDW Radio as your as a code when you check out.
Awesome. Thank you so much. This was so fun. I am famished beyond belief now because all we've been doing is talking about food. But I need to have you come on again. I want to talk more about food in some of the other parks, maybe food outside the parks. We've got Food and Wine Festival coming up. You are the person we have to get ready collectively. We've got to prepare and strategize for 40 some odd days of the Food and Wine Festival this year.
Yes, we do. I've been planning ahead. Have you? Come on. It's only 2 months away. We've got to get ready.
And we need to eat together. We've got to do a live dining review together because I love not only your interest in food, but I love how you talk about food.
I love to talk about food. It's a passion of mine. I absolutely adore it. I love to eat. I tell people I'm not a very good cook, but I sure do love to eat. So that's how it is.
That's it. I am the worst cook in America, but I'm one of its best eaters. So AJ again from DisneyFoodBlog.com. Again, go over to DFBGuide.com. You can purchase one or all of her books. Use code WDWRadio at checkout. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts, your tips, and your great advice on some of the best snacks in Epcot. I want the listeners to come by and leave theirs as well, too.
Wonderful. I can't wait to read them.
It's time for the Walt Disney World Trivia Question of the Week, where I challenge you to test your knowledge of how well you know Walt Disney World history or trivia, or pay attention to the details, stories, or even lines from your favorite shows or attractions. I then randomly select one winner for a Disney prize package. Before we get to this week's question, let's go back to last week, review the question, the answer, and select our winner. So last week, I did something a little bit different. I didn't ask you a single trivia question, but I asked you to identify three locations. I gave you three location names and asked you to tell me where in Walt Disney World they could be found. They could have been an attraction, a resort, a show, restaurant, could have been anywhere in Walt Disney World. And the three locations I gave you were Chicopin Hill, the Doge's Palace, and Zirka Zong. Now, all those locations were actually found inside Walt Disney World theme parks. Number one, Chicopin Hill is the home of Brer Fox and Brer Rabbit over at Splash Mountain. Number two, the Doge's Palace can be found at the Italy Pavilion in Epcot's World Showcase. And number three, this one was a little tricky, was Zirka Zong. That is the fictional village at the base of Expedition Everest over at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Congratulations and thanks to all of you who entered. The winner this week who won all six of my audio walking tours of Walt Disney World, a WDW Radio luggage tag, button, and new Disney Parks Vinylmation is Lorianne Howes. So Lorianne, thank you and congratulations to you. Please send me your address. I'll get your prize package out to you right away. Thanks again for all who played. If you didn't win, that's okay, because here is this week's Walt Disney World Trivia Question of the Week. And let's stick with the topic of food, which was the subject for this week's segment. And remember that everything speaks in Walt Disney World, which means that everything has a story attached to it, including restaurants and even some food items. And some of those stories are tied directly in to classic Disney films and characters. So here is this week's question. Tell me what Walt Disney World restaurant was inspired by a 1955 Disney animated feature film. All you need to do is just tell me the name,
Send in your entries to contest@wdwradio.com by 11:59 p.m. on Sunday, August 5th. I'll once again include a prize package with all six of the audio tours, a luggage tag, button, and a new mystery Disney Parks Vinylmation. So good luck and have fun. That's going to do it for this week's show. Thanks again for taking the time and tuning in this and every week. A couple of quick reminders about some live broadcasts we have coming up over the next week or so. Don't forget, every Wednesday night, starting at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, I broadcast live, usually right from Walt Disney World, for the WDW Newscast. You can watch and chat with us as we talk about this week's Walt Disney World news in a very interactive discussion format. You'll find the link to WDW Radio Live right on the homepage over at wdwradio.com. This Saturday, August 4th, I'll be live all day from the Pacific Northwest Mouse Meets, a Disney fan meet up in the Seattle area. I'll be broadcasting from 1 p.m. Eastern until about 9 p.m. Eastern. You can watch, chat, meet some of the guests, participate in activities and presentations, meet some of the celebrities and guest speakers like Tony Baxter, Marty Sklar, Paige O'Hara, and of course, we'll have plenty of surprises, some giveaways, and lots more. Again, that's Saturday, August 4th, from about 1 p.m. Eastern to 9 p.m. that night. Next Wednesday, August 8th, I'll be live from Disneyland for the newscast. I'm going to be out there for D23. If you're out there as well, too, stay tuned to Twitter. Maybe come by and join us for the live show. Speaking of Destination D, follow me on Twitter and Facebook. I am at Lou Mangiello and Facebook.com/Lou Mangiello for updates, info, photos, live broadcasts from the event as well. Never know where I may be broadcasting from during the week as well, too. Maybe Cars Land, Buena Vista Street, Disneyland. I'll be there for about a week from August 6th through the 13th. So follow me on Twitter, subscribe to my profile on Facebook for, again, updates, live broadcasts, and more. And if you're going to be out there for D23's Destination D event, hope to get a chance to meet you there or in the parks as well. Speaking of other updates, be sure and come and visit the WDW Radio blog every day. Check out our new Week in Review post every Friday. We have our Random Acts of Disney Magic logo contest challenge, fish extender exchange for the cruise. Deadlines are those coming up soon. We also have a virtual tour of the Walt Disney Family Museum. You'll find links to all those right on the WDW Radio blog. I also want to hear from you. I want you to be part of the show. You can call the voicemail anytime at 407-900-9391. That's 407-900-WDW1. Email me over at lou@wdwradio.com if you have a question you want heard on the air. Speaking of other special events, stay tuned for information on August's Meet of the Month. It'll most likely be the weekend of August 18th. Stay tuned for details as far as time and locations. Also, check the events page over at wdwradio.com for information about other upcoming live events, including our e-ticket event, an evening at the American Adventurers Club. Tickets are on sale now. That's Friday, September 28th. Very limited number of seats. Great way to kick off Epcot's 30th anniversary. Going to be a great time. A lot of surprises in store, including some special guests who will be joining us as well, including some Disney artists, some Imagineers, some other people you've heard on the show as well. You can find out more and purchase your tickets over at wdwradio.com. Click on the events tab. Quick thanks to my partners and sponsors, Mouse Fan Travel, my official and recommended travel provider. Whether you're going to Disney World, Disneyland, Adventures by Disney, anything Disney related and more, visit them over at mousefantravel.com. When you're coming down to Walt Disney World, want something a little bit bigger, maybe a vacation home, check out allstarvacationhomes.com. Want to stay right in the heart of Disney, the Swan and Dolphin has the Heavenly Beds, 17 world-class restaurants and lounges, and lots more. Visit them over at swanandolphin.com. If you want to get a little bit of Disney magic delivered right to your door, Celebrations Press, a bi-monthly magazine celebrating the magic of all things Disney, and you can now get it on your iPad as well, too. Visit them over at celebrationspress.com. And as you heard, AJ from the Disney Food Blog has a special 20% off discount for WDW Radio listeners. Use code WDWRadio at checkout over at dfbstore.com. And finally, my friends, and you are my friends, whether we have met yet or not, and to thank you again to everybody who came to the meet of the month this past weekend. You very much proved just that, that we are friends, even if we hadn't had a chance to meet yet in person. All I ask is that if you like the show, please help spread the word. Let others know about it. Tweet out that you're listening. Share links on Facebook, Pinterest, or Google+. Tell your friends. Talk about it in discussion forums. And please come by, rate, and review the show over in iTunes. Very, very, very helpful. I'll put a link in this week's show notes to make it easy for you to find the show there. And finally, remember that life doesn't have a remote control. So get up, change it yourself, believe in yourself, and do what you love each and every day. And always, always keep moving forward. Thank you again so very much for taking the time out of your day and your week to listen to the show. I hope you guys have a fantastic week this week. Keep being awesome. So until next time, see ya.
Hey, Lou, this is your mom. I want to tell you the name of that glass that's in the Christmas catalog is Art Glass, and it was manufactured by the Loetz, L-O-E-T-Z company. It was around 1930s. I hope this helps, and if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. Love you anyhow. Bye.
You've got a friend. Yeah.
Hurry back. Hurry back.